So Latif Bharat, you're what we call a Sufi musician and Sufi scholar, and you've been spending 4 days here in Auroville. Can you tell?
8 days.
Okay. So can you tell us about your your experimentation of Auroville?
Well, Auroville is a very interesting place. I've been in many countries. I lived in the United States for 27 years. There are many alternative communities, but they are very small, and usually they fail. Or they are small, they don't fail, but their purpose is not like here. It's more like a personal 10, 15, 20 people get together for an easy life. They detach themselves from the outside world, and then they live their lives without any much involvement. But here, it's a very interesting experimentation. And 42 years, as I understand, Auroville goes on. And it seems that it is still struggling because, you know, this is an alternative world in this very wild environment of our own times now. So because of that, I think it's a very interesting place to be and to observe and to maybe think about, you know, similar things in other places. Like I visited Finhorn in northern Scotland. It has similar ideas, but I think that is also more practically oriented than spiritually oriented. So this Auroville has that spiritual dimension too, which makes it even more interesting experimentation. So my stay here 8 days has been very, very interesting, very, very nice indeed. I really enjoyed going around the Auroville, comparing with other part of India in many aspects. And international community, of course, is one of the more prominent features of this place. People of, you know, many, many cultures are represented here. And so I'm very positive, you know. This is exactly what I envisioned for the last 30, 40 years anyway, in terms of borderless world community. And from Sri Aurobindo's life story that I know a little bit, I find interesting parallels between my own life story and his, with 100 years time difference. Because I come from a very, very rebellious background. I'm an activist in Turkey who tries to change the society and for betterment, for egalitarianism, and having a more democratically oriented society, maybe even more spiritual society. And so Sri Aurobindo had, in his youth, had a lot of involvement in the Indian politics, especially Bengali politics. And then he somehow discovered the spiritual aspect of these struggles, and then he concentrated on the spirituality, which I sort of did it 20-something years ago. But the only difference, I think, I mean, I it's not exactly the same, but I discovered the spiritual aspect of this struggle, but I am trying to combine these two without withdrawing from the world, because I think maybe the difference between our times and his time, 1920s, whatever, that right now the world really needs our involvement rather than withdrawal, because the world is not doing really well. Mother Earth is suffering very much with the environment and with many, many other things. So I think we have to really come out very, very strongly with spirit end of things and infuse that into the politics and everything else, so we help out Mother Earth, help out people of the world who are really suffering big time through wars and invasions and, you know, bad politics and non-egalitarian politics and economic problems. So I think we have to add spiritual dimension to our political involvements and create that kind of somewhat brand new style of politics. because if we every spiritual person withdraws, then the world is going to be in deep trouble in our times. 100 years ago, 80 years ago, it could have been okay. But now, we really have to organize ourselves. We have to find similar communities all around the world, put them together, and then fight back against the injustice in non-equal, non-egalitarian politics of the world. Because, you know, we live in a consumer society more and more and more through especially globalization, they called 20 years ago. It is ravaging indigenous cultures especially. I mean, you just get out of Oroville, even in the Pondicherry, I was there today. I mean, that place is like any other city almost in Turkey or in Argentina or something. The consumerism is consuming people. So because of that, I think spirituality has to be very creatively combined with politics and should be given as an alternative to people, because dry politics is really repelling for people. It's not doing any good, because all kind of bad people and noisy people are doing a lot of those dry politics. Very confusing, and then ordinary people are confused about that kind of, that type of politics. Whereas if we add a spiritual dimension to it, then it could be more understandable and more supportable and more sustainable and more solid for future changes too.
And concretely, actually, how do you express this combination mm-hmm. of politics and spirituality? Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, spirituality is not an abstract item, you know. I mean, it's not just that you have a little thing at home, you burn a little incense, and then you read a little, you know, spiritual poetry, and then do a little prayer, and then you're spiritual. Real spirituality is not that. That is just part of it. That is a small part of it. Real spirituality, to be awakened about the world, you know, to know the direction that the world is going, the people are going, and to have serious input in affecting that direction for betterment of people, for everybody's awakened state. So the spirituality should support that rather than this very abstract, you know, spirit matters, very somewhat meditative and unattached to the worldly affairs is not the kind of spirituality that really, really touches people's lives and makes them better. And if a spirituality is not helping out people, then that is not spirituality. That is a personal exercise probably, or, you know, mental exercise at a personal level.
And how is it to live or be seen, maybe, or as a Sufi scholar mm-hmm. and musician in this world today, in Turkey?
You mean, how am I being seen or accepted?
How is it to be? I mean, uh-huh. How do you live with it?
Well, you know, the first question that I answered a little bit, I hold my purpose probably for doing this actively, day to day, 24 hours a day, traveling all around the world, is not just for the sake of music. I can do that home. I can just play and satisfy myself with the music and then go to sleep. But I think the world, Mother Earth, and the people on the Earth are in very, very much in need of enlightenment, because we are stupefied. Whole world population of 6 billion people made stupid by the system of the world, by consumerism, buy, more, and also by soccer games and crickets and baseballs and American football and fashions and many kind of sort of a unnecessary style of music, even, you know. When you think about music, should serve betterment of people too, and most of the music or cultural things they are pushed to us by the system, current system in the world, are not really productive. They are not doing anything. They are putting people down, basically, like rap music. I mean, I live in America, so the black people are the creators of rap music, but it is serving just the opposite as it is, you know. It is serving to lower the struggle of the black people in America. They are putting them down. They are putting them on sleep with this type of music because it's very sexist. If you check out the lyrics, it's very sexist. It's a male, very male-oriented. It puts down women kind, and it is violent also. So that's why I'm saying that if the system is putting down people of the world in many, many ways, if they are stupefying, if they are drugging people, literally speaking, then our duty is to do just the opposite. So creating a positive environment, creating a more egalitarian environment, respect to women, respect to anybody, more tolerant environment, and more like non-religious get-together type of environment. Everybody should believe in whatever they are. Who cares, you know? Because we didn't come to this world by being asked, you know. My name is Latif. I was born in Turkey for some reason. Most probably it's a big coincidence. And then here I am. I'm Turkish. I'm Muslim. I have dark skin because I'm on the Mediterranean. And my name is Latif, and then nobody asked me any of these items. They were just given to me. Because of that, when you think about that for everybody, there is no reason to take any of these items as a separating items, because we have no input in it, right? I mean, you are who you are just because where you're born. I am who I am just because where I was born, which I have zero input. Nobody asked me where I wish to be born, for example. Therefore, I think we should put all these things aside, the religion, race, this and that. The only valid thing is where we are located in our societies, you know. So when you think about that, majority of the world population are located in the same level and same place. So we have that commonality. You can call that class, but you don't have to call class either. But we, majority of the world, are in that category. So that's why we have that very immediate commonality. So based on that commonality, I think we have to use our spirituality. We have to put out our spirit to create a union with all these kind of people from the same environment and then work toward their betterment. That's what I think it should happen in the spiritual environments. Because spirituality, I never believe it's a personal exercise that, oh, you feel good just because, you know, you do whatever you're supposed to do as a person. It's much larger than that. Yeah.
Can you tell me why you choose to live in America?
Well, that was also somewhat coincidence. I got a government scholarship from Turkey, Turkish government, so they sent me to get an MBA, master's degree in management. So I went, and it was very nice. I mean, the United States is a very, very wonderful place. Majority of people are very nice. It's the cutting edge of free thinking and then questioning things like that. At least it was like that. But unfortunately, people there also under this kind of pushing down, so they are also stupefied. Most people, they don't even think about anything. But regardless, there are really wonderful spiritual smaller communities all around the country, from Hawaii to Alaska, from Washington to Virginia. And thousands of people really think about these things. Meaning of life, why are we here, what are we supposed to do, kind of questions. And that's why I have been able to survive in America just doing this music. 25 years, day and night, I do Turkish spiritual Sufi music, lectures and concerts, and good people in America, they really supported me for 25 years. And so I have to really acknowledge that and give a lot of credit. You know, it's good, nice people questioning authority, questioning the current situation, and trying to find a little betterment in life for themselves and for their environment. So that's why I ended up in America, stayed 27 years already. But it was time to come back home, so I returned to Turkey last year. And I found just the opposite place. It was a very spiritual place 30 years ago, 27 years ago when I left. Money was never a talk of people. You never talk about money those days. Now, money is center of everything. Money is a new god that they discovered. So it's very depressing in terms of that. I mean, they just discovered this free-form consumer society. The only thing they wish to do, consume. I mean, they consume whatever they find, basically. Because of that, it's not very easy, you know. But, you know, c'est la vie. That's, you know, you have to bear with it. There's no perfect place in the world, whether that's your home country or not. It's not created yet. That perfect place, it is not created. That's why we have a figure called heaven, you know, which doesn't exist, but it is said that it exists, so everybody wants to go there, wherever that is.
Yeah. Can I ask you one last question?
Sure, yeah.
Actually, I'd like to know if you've been raised as a Sufi musician, or how did you get into it?
No. I was raised as a almost non-religious person. I mean, I'm from the Mediterranean coast of Turkey, so people are very free-form there. It's very, very enculturated environment. So my parents are very, somewhat religious, not really fundamentalists or anything, just regular, very nice people. So I grew up in that environment, and I became a socially conscious person at the age of 17. So that made me sort of a socialist or something like that, I think, that I really, you know, studied the theory of it and the practice of it, the Chinese revolution and the Soviet Union, all kind of stuff. It's really studied very deeply. And then eventually I decided, you know, that system was good on everything. It was a great analysis, a great solution proposals, but they skip the spirit part from the solution. Karl Marx, Lenin and everything. I shouldn't say a skip, but economic, political solutions were more immediate, so they put it aside and they said, you know, when you fix the economy and the politics and when you are in power, spirit follows it, which may or may not be, which we realized that it really didn't. So that's why I realized that spirituality can be very useful addition to this social conscious systems. Whether you call it socialism, communism, whatever, it doesn't really matter. Those etiquettes, those names are irrelevant, actually. And because of that, I think, you know, in my mind at least, I'm trying to combine those things, because spiritual leaders are very, very socially conscious people, like Sri Aurobindo and many others. And that's why I think there is zero contradiction between socially conscious systems like socialism and spirituality. And we have to combine them eventually for betterment of people and for somewhat better system, creating better system. Because without spirit, socialism is a very dry thing. It doesn't go too far. Because, I mean, we got something called spirit, some goodness, some, you know, consciousness, whatever. So we have to work on that. So the spirituality works on that part. Politics and economics work on the other part. And if you can combine these two aspects, then I think you have some very valid theory of, you know, good future for humanity.
And how did the music come in?
Well, music, I studied at a conservatory in Turkey. I was an opera singer. And I studied Western opera, sang a lot of Mozart Lieds and Schubert Lieds, all kind of things. And then I realized that it wasn't going too far in terms of my own enjoyment. So I went into folk music. But later on, even that didn't go too far. The poetry and lyrics were not very powerful. It was too elementary, as a matter of fact. I mean, the ordinary love stories. They are good and everything, but it's not very powerful. Then I discovered the Turkish Sufi devotional music culture, which came with a great philosophy, wonderful music and poetry. That was 23, 24 years ago, and still I'm digging into it and I'm finding a great treasure in it.